Welcome to My Creative Corner 3, a podcast about quilting, crafting, creativity, with a dash of garden, chatting about current interests and life in my northern town. You can find show notes at mycreativecorner3.com. You can also find all of my social media, how to purchase a virtual cup of coffee, and all events on the website. Please feel free to stop by and leave a comment. I really appreciate everyone who listens. Thanks for stopping by. Welcome to the podcast. Hello, everybody. My name is Vicki, and welcome to My Creative Corner 3. I'd like to welcome all the new listeners and tell you a little bit about myself. This is a podcast about crafting, creating, and a little bit about my life in a small town in northern Lower Michigan. We have long winters with a lot of snow, and it gives me lots of time to make things, be creative, and sometimes I find myself doing epic disasters, and I talk about all of it here. I am an empty nester, and I am in that phase of life where we are looking at retirement in probably 5 years. So I'm on the 5-year plan. So we talk a little bit about my preparation and getting ready for a retirement in my early 60s. I work in healthcare, and I've been a nurse for over 30 years, and it's been a wild ride. My children are all grown, and I do have some grandchildren. So once in a while, I get to talk about what's going on there. So what have I been up to? Well, we just got back from a 1-week whirlwind spring break vacation. We went via Gatlinburg, Tennessee, to go visit the grandchildren in Virginia. So I have to say it was a little bit cooler because Easter came early this year. Sometimes I've gone on Easter break and it's been a lot warmer, but it was April 1st. So it was in the 50s, a good chunk of the time we were gone, which still felt gloriously warm to us. And we thought we'd spend a couple of days scouting out a potential place for an entire family vacation for both of my adult children and their families. So that would be a place where we could accommodate a bed and breakfast for, you know, many people. So I didn't know where to go. We're trying to pick a halfway point between where my son lives, and which is West Michigan, and my daughter who lives in Virginia Beach. So overall, we think we've narrowed it down to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Not sure that we'll do the whole Dollywood thing, because I'm not sure how many kids and adults would really want to do all of the theme park stuff, but there is so much to do. We went to the National Park for the Great Smoky Mountains. Oh, it's absolutely beautiful. I haven't been there in many, many years. And we drove from Gatlinburg to Cherokee, North Carolina. We happened to see a bear, which I've been looking for a bear in the wild. It's been a long time. And guess what? We saw elk while we were on our ride. They reintroduced elk into the park in the last several years, I understand. And we even got out on April 1st when they opened Klingman's Dome. We went to the parking lot and did a little walking around. And after a busy day, this was in the afternoon, I thought maybe I can walk to the observation tower because I had been having a very, very good day. No go. It was a very steep, nearly vertical, it seemed like, climb. And my legs were burning and my lungs were burning. It was an elevation of 6,600 feet, which is very hard on my long COVID lungs. But I did get to go to the top of an observation tower in Gatlinburg. which is called Anakista. So you can take a bus ride up or a ski lift. So we thought, well, we'll take the bus ride up because it was a little bit cooler, and then we'll take the ski lift down because you'll have an open view over the entire valley between Gatlinburg and the mountains that is on the other side. And it was gorgeous. At the top is a little tourist place, and they have shops and places for kids to play, walking trails, a little ropes course, which I did. And I climbed to the very top of 85 steps straight up in an observation tower where you had a 365 degree view. So let me tell you, that was about $40 per person. It was about 2 hours. I did a little nature walk up there in their gardens and did some sitting and just observing the beauty. They had a child's area where you could play, but in the child's area, I wanted to do this so bad, but I'm not a kid, but I should have done it. You can buy a 10-pound bag of sand that has little rocks and gemstones in it, and then pan it, quote unquote, for the gemstones. I would have done it, but I just thought, no, I don't want to be in there with the kids. I could just buy little rocks in gift shops if I wanted to, and I have in past vacations. So we had an absolutely lovely time, and we drove across North Carolina to where the kids live, and we went to the Chrysler Museum in Norfolk because on Wednesday it was pouring down rain. Thursday we did an escape room, which is something I have never done, my husband and I. It was fun. The children went too, and it was based on the Clue game. So you had to figure out who did it or was going to do it. We were trying to prevent a crime. Who did it? What was going to do it? What was their weapon of choice? And what room? It was a big scramble. It was fun. It was frustrating. We did have to get one clue from the what do you call them, the game master, I guess, who are watching, and we just got super stuck, but they helped a teeny weeny bit, and we were able to solve the puzzles and the clues, and I love mysteries. Definitely with children, it was a little more chaotic because they got all excited about the time frame and were worried we were going to lose, but we did not. We had 7 or 8 minutes to spare. And we solved the mystery. And you know, I love a mystery. And then Friday, we went to the zoo. The girls had not been there in years. The older girls, we have a set of twins that are 10, and the little girl, we call her the little, she is not so little anymore, is 7. They had not been in many years, and it was so fun. It's springtime, so there were some babies to see, like a baby rhino and some baby, I think it was a gibbon monkey, and all kinds of things. Oh, a giraffe. There were some young giraffes there. It was a very nice zoo, but just big enough because Grandma got very tired. My legs, this was Friday after a week of adventuring. I was exhausted. So we made the last train around, and everyone was pleasantly exhausted from the visit. But the good news is the girls, every time I've gone for the last couple of visits, been teaching them how to use the sewing machine. I took a extra sewing machine I had that was one of my late friends who was a quilter, and it's a little Husqvarna, and it's a little bit older machine, but it's been serviced well, it's in tip-top shape. And I've been teaching my daughter. We learned how to sew a goose dress last year for her plastic goose, in that's decorative. She does seasonal clothing for it. And I sewed a couple outfits, and I talked about that in past podcasts. But the girls want to learn how to sew, and one of the twins wants to be a quote fashion designer and live in Paris, France. It's so adorable. And I said, well, I guess you need to learn how to sew. And she said, well, I surely would like to learn how to sew. And her sister wanted to learn how to sew because she has more of the putting things together mind, maybe more an engineering type mind like her father, but she is incredibly creative. Don't get me wrong. She is very creative. Both girls are very creative. And she has a big flair for using stories. And so I thought, why don't we make journal covers for composition books? That way, if the youngest doesn't want to learn how to sew, which she did not, she played with grandpa. She likes to use the journal and to color. So we made a journal cover with pockets and appliqued one of a batik piece of fabric where I doodled on the front with an identipen, and they each had one. I pre-cut everything. I even pre-hemmed the inside pockets, but they learned several really good skills. Appliqué skills, which we just winged it, man. We did not pin anything. We did not stiffen anything. The batik was pleasantly stiff enough from the wax paper that I had used to stabilize that fabric. So I peeled it off, and they learned how to layer three layers of fabric together. So what I did was I did a cotton, quilting cotton front with the applique for the cover. Then we did a liner, which when you flipped it around, all the seams were hidden. And over the liner, we did a pocket sleeve to slide in the covers. So it was like three quarter size of the actual composition book, so you could slide it in and out. And they learned how to turn their pieces, you know, so you sew the three layers all right sides together and center your pockets because we didn't pin it. Some of them weren't 100% perfectly in place, but it worked and it was about 90% perfect for two girls who have not done much sewing. And it's funny, the twin that wants to go to Paris, France is very slow, steady, and methodical, but her sister is much more of a speed demon and she loved using the tools of the trade. So they all had a great time, and Grandpa and I had a great time, and we also had a 4-day Easter weekend getaway to ourselves, which was a nice little retreat. And we just had some of the best meals on the road. So, interesting experience that we had at a restaurant that I've never heard of before, but it was on a recommendation of one of my husband's friends via the Highland Games. So, in Pigeon Forge and coming to Gatlinburg is a place called Pizza Rio. I thought Pizza Rio, I'm not sure. Well, that's a Brazilian pizza place, as in like Brazilian steakhouses, which I've been to, where it's like all you can eat and you just order kind of what you would like to have in their menu, and they bring it to you all you can eat. Like if you want to try at the steakhouse, it'd be all different types of cuts of meat and chicken and all of the sides and salads and different things. You got the same principle at Pizza Rio, except all of the pizzas were like gourmet pizza. Like it was very high-end cheese and mushroom pizza with a pesto on it. I can't even remember all of them. If you are not a picky eater of pizza and want to try, and it had a fabulous sourdough crust. They even did chicken wings and would bring a salad, and of course, the best for last, the dessert pizzas. So that was so much fun to go and have an adventure in eating. We went to a couple of places. One was a brew pub. We had some lovely lunches. And in Gatlinburg, I don't remember the name of the restaurant, but it had a sidewalk on what I used to say, a barker, you know, someone that would be out there saying, "Come on in, we have lunch specials," because the restaurant was tucked away. It was in a castle pub style. You sat down in the booths, but there were some tables that seated 20 people with oversized massive wooden chairs that looked like thrones. Very exclusively expensive, but we had lunch, so it was great. And that was a fun little surprise. So, adventures. We love having adventures and doing road trips. There seemed to be, we chose to leave before the solar eclipse hit areas of Ohio and other parts of the country that we were traveling through that were going to have eclipse totality. So we drove back on Sunday and got home pretty early in the day. And I'll say Sunday on the turnpikes through Pennsylvania and Ohio, Sunday morning is quiet. But Washington, D.C., we avoided because there was massive slowdown. So we drove through a more rural Virginia way to hit the Penn Turnpike to the Ohio Turnpike to Michigan and then drove home. So overall, vacations. Why is it that taking it seems so difficult to do? Number one, they're very expensive, even when you try to do a low budget vacation. And then once we saved up the money and did all of the shuffling around, it's just a big pain to try to arrange a time off at work sometimes. That's gotten easier over the last couple years. And then you got to prep for vacation. And then when you come back, it's exhausting and you got to clean up from vacation. But going on what a vacation to me and doing new things, including things I've never been to, an escape room and all of the different restaurants and some of the newer types of things. And I forgot to tell you that we went and did some goofy things too in Pigeon Forge. We went to the Wax Museum and we went to the Celebrity Car Museum. Now, I like to go to these kinds of things. Number one, it keeps me up on pop culture a little bit. And also, cars, I find them to be artistically inspiring. And they had like the fancy cars there from movies. So, like the Batmobile and Ghostbusters car that were really kind of way ahead of their time and works of art and a lot of creativity going into making them. And then you come back refreshed and inspired and ready to take on the mundane everydayness of life. And I'm really looking forward to a second vacation we're taking, which is going to be an epic road trip out west. My husband did, in fact, let's cue up a great big yay and applause. He has driven semis for 25 years for the company that he works with and has had no tickets or accidents. And now my husband drives semis to customers and customers' homes, tight places all over northern Michigan, usually a couple hundred miles a day. And he said, no speeding tickets, no accidents. And it's amazing. And with that came a great little bonus and a lot of accolades because it's not every day that they give these safety awards out at the company he works for. So I was thrilled for him, and we are planning an epic road trip to the Four Corners area of Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, and Colorado. What are we going to do? Well, we have so many ideas, but we also have to look at the budget. It's going to be a lot of driving and kind of visit some places where we used to live when he was in the Air Force and just do some national parks. I would love to go to several places that I did not have a chance to go to when we were very young and very poor. When we were first married and he was in the military. So it'll be a lot of fun. So overall, vacations, do it. If you haven't gone on a vacation in a while, go on a very low budget vacation, even if it's a day trip near your home to do something different. Because sometimes just seeing new places, being around different people, breathing fresh air. And even if you've done everything, like I've lived in northern Michigan a long time, practically my whole life, and I've done a lot of things, but there are still places when I watch travel videos and the internet now, there are lots of places that I've never heard of that exist that are maybe off the wall, off the beaten path type places. And it's fun to go and be inspired. Very, very fun to go and be inspired. So that was our vacation. Now we come back to reality in northern Michigan. While we were gone, it snowed in right after Easter. Yeah, 18 inches, I hear, but it was melted by the time we got home. Very glad to see that. And I looked out the window today, and behind my house is a parking lot. Yeah, my property butts up to the private school in town's parking lot. And they always plow to one corner near my property line and make what I call Snow Mountain every year. And it's probably 10 to 12 feet tall. I mean, it's amazingly tall. And winters that we get epic amount of snow, they get to like remove Snow Mountain with a dump truck and a front loader many times a winter. But this year they did not, and today Snow Mountain is nothing but a snowball in the corner of the parking lot. So the winter was very light. I thought spring would come early because in February we had a lot of unseasonably warm days. And, you know, it's just the climate is changing. In winter sports and winter things still happen, but not like it was when I was a kid up here. So I'm thrilled. That means I need to find our rake because the ground has dried out and we had a ton of rain yesterday. Today is sunny. We had 50 mile an hour winds, which it's dried up. But with all of that, you know, came a little growth of my spring flowers in the garden that are kind of covered in leaves a little bit. But this morning I couldn't get to it because with that driving rain, we had a little bit of a water issue. Now, the roof is intact in both the upper and lower roof because we live in an old house, have been shingled in the recent years. But I believe the wind is either driving the rain. It only happens when we have a driving rain with epically strong winds that is pushing the rain under the shingles and up to where the upper house, the old house that was joined to probably a 1930s addition to this 100-year-old house. And it is coming through that joining spot. Some people call them like valleys in the roof line, but it's not really a valley because it's so pitched, but it's where the old and the new house, which is still really old, joined. And so my husband gets to go up there on an adventure because he hates climbing ladders and going on the roof. But thank goodness it's on the lower roof over the bathroom. Now I've had that all opened up when our bathroom was remodeled, and I saw that it is the structural integrity of there is great, but we know exactly where that water may be coming in. And then for years, nothing happened. But yesterday it was a hot mess, and I had many towels soaked with water that seeped in. There was walls that were dripping with water, and it's windy enough and cold enough, but yet warm enough. It's been drying out. I scrubbed the walls this morning, washed all the stains away, mopped, cleaned all the commode and fixtures and the medicine cabinet and all that stuff. But we do have a little bit of repair work we need to do and probably repaint the ceiling over the course of the next summer, which will be on my husband's time. And summer is incredibly busy, so it may not happen until fall, winter. But there's some things that need to be done. So that was my welcome back to reality. And you know what? It wasn't that bad as I thought yesterday. It was going to be an epic disaster. Today, with the sun shining and a new fresh eye and a good night's sleep, it's not too bad. It just needs a little bit of work that I think we can do ourselves. So that is my current situation. But I do have to tell you something funny about this week. I was really tired. Having long COVID means when you expend a lot of energy, sometimes you crash with being very tired. And I knew that would happen this week back at work. And it was one of those weeks where every other day, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we're crazy busy. And then Tuesday, Thursday, we're a little bit slower, which is good because I needed to recuperate. But I bought a new shirt for vacation so my daughter wouldn't think that I never buy new clothes because I don't. I really don't. And I thought, well, it's a boho shirt. It's, one of these smocked bodices with flowing kind of cap sleeves that are longer for plus-size people, kind of like a baby doll. And I wore that shirt inside out all day Wednesday. Well, until 3 o'clock when I noticed the seams were sticking out. I'm like, nobody said anything. None of my clients said anything. Nobody at work said anything. Like, are you kidding me? I wore my shirt inside out almost all day. Well, once I saw that, I had to flip it around. And, to be honest, you probably really wouldn't have noticed, but I noticed. And if the fit was weird because, it was inside out. Oh man, what a week. Fresh start. Reset. Here we are. It's spring today and going to be a good week. So this week, I haven't done tons of crafting. So we're going to move to the crafting segment. But what I did last week on vacation is I finished my slow stitching meditation scroll by, I was inspired by Catherine of Kath is a YouTube channel, K3N, and meditation scroll. She calls it that because it's a meditative process. I did a 5-inch wide muslin strip, and then I raw edge appliqued with a loose basting stitch with thread, and then with some really pretty embroidery floss, I tested a Colorworks pink variegated and a Cosmo purple and did all kinds of different slow stitching embroidery stitches. So if you want to check it out, it's K3N Cloth Tales. She does a weekly challenge and has an hour live where she's recording the actual challenge, and she's doing a lot of things with wonky raw edge log cabins. And this week's was it was a wonky rose last week, and this week was a total eclipse inspired reverse applique. I haven't like kept up with her challenges, but it's super fun to watch and to get ideas for the next project. And then the other thing I did while on vacation is I cross-stitched stitch card N, and I was able to nearly finish the flower. It's a 4-card series. The first one I stitched was a gnome, and it looks like a little tiny postage stamp or a frame. And I'm doing in a 2x2 setting. These are patterns by Lori Holt and her stitch cards. And so the one I'm working on is a flower in a pot with a spring theme, and I don't remember what the other two are, so I will be surprised when I open it up. Before I left, I finished March's door. It's a door decoration quilt, and I have not been able to finish that, nor have I been able to long arm the petite four. Wah, 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 sad trombone here. I finished up long arming a baby quilt, and you can listen to the last podcast all about that story. And then when I loaded the petite four, I noticed the tension wasn't right, and the whole needle was like working really hard. Well, the whole thing is out of time, or the needle shaft has shifted and it's rubbing on the hole where the needle goes down into the bobbin case. So overall, I am not doing any long arming until that gets serviced. And to get it serviced, I have to travel at least an hour to any of the three places that I can go to have it serviced. I'm going to try a new place in Houghton Lake. Is Becky's Sewing Center. She's a lovely lady and has a lot of brothers as well as embroidery machines, but they service all kinds of machines, and she used to work at a Baby Lock long arm sewing center down in Saginaw. So her technician is a Baby Lock certified specialist and is very, very well acquainted with how to service my long arm. So it's going to be out of commission for a little while. That's okay. It hasn't been serviced in a long time. And I'm going to work on probably slow stitching my little door banner. And then I have to make some decisions about what I want to work on. April, I thought when I did my 12 monthly door banner themed quilt is mushrooms, and that is a Lori Holt pattern also. And in February, I skipped the love notes, and I might work on that this month too. But I have not been very inspired to sit at a sewing machine yet, and yet it is only the 13th of March, so I could probably get at least the mushroom one done. And I'm planning on catching up with the love note one at some point. But overall, I'm not like really feeling I want to crank out a whole bunch of quilting types of things right now, because I have a lot of quilts that I want to finish. A lot, meaning probably five or six to do of my own long arming, and I need to bind a whole bunch. So that's the next thing. I'll probably cut out a few more bindings and then work on a couple that are in the stack that I need to bind. So goals, lots of plans, and not a whole lot shaken here. But in the slow in hand stitching, it's not slow stitching. Remember, we used to call any handwork slow stitching, but slow stitching now means that fancy embroidery stuff, kind of crazy quilt meets fabric collage, is how I describe it, and I'm absolutely loving it. But what I did do this week is a lot of knitting on my wrap, and this wrap is a sweater scarf by Knititude, and she has the pattern on her Instagram site that you can purchase. Fantastic! It is a DK weight yarn by Plymouth, which is like a touch of wool with more acrylic, which I needed an everyday yarn that I can wear in the winter time when I'm doing things around the house. And I don't like wearing 100% wool because I get a little itchy, but a touch of wool gives this a beautiful feel to it. And I'm using bamboo circular needles, which was my mistake on the elementary wrap. And this is a lot of stocking net with cuffs that you slip your arms in, and then you have to watch her video. And I did put it in my stories a while ago, but Knititude, if you really want to know how it's been a wrap that's been around for probably a decade. It's just a big, long, oversized shawl with cuffs that you slip your hands in, and you literally wind it around your torso, and you're going to have an X either in the front or the back, depending on how you wrap it. And yet, you can have these semi-quasi sleeves that are garter stitch, no, not garter stitch, they're ribbed in a cuff, so they stay on your arms. And yet, the wrap is loose enough, you can do things. And if you want, you could put a shawl pin in it to like secure it a little bit more. But I'm excited because I like to sit in my chair with the quilt on my lap, but I like my arms free to sew or do other things like that, like knitting or stitching. And I got a lot of that done. And then the next thing I thought is, I really have been getting the urge to sew grandmother Flower Garden Hexagons English Paper Pieced. I have a whole bunch of them all pre-made, and I have several hexagons just of different seasons and different seasonal fabrics, different flowers. And I went on a binge last year buying Liberty of London fabric and Liberty of London fabric made by Riley Blake. And oh man, I do love those. I do love them a lot. I've been tempted to buy more fabric at the quilt shop. They have Tilda. I am restraining myself until I make more flowers. So I'm making some flowers and I've finished one that was in progress and I started another one last night. Do love it. Now the thing about English paper piecing, even with a light, I'm finding it is a spring, summer, early fall project due to the light we have here in northern Michigan. In the winter, even with a overhead light that I bought for cross stitching, it's hard to see these tiny little stitches that I'm doing, you know, the whip stitch method. And I just can't do it in the winter because it's so hard to see. So I want to sew up, probably do a lot more of this hand type of work. And I may abandon my door banner theme that I came up with and just do like seasonal hexagon door banners. And I'm loving it. So I got inspired in the last month to make these little kits that I have made up and sell some on Etsy. Now, I wouldn't want to baste them on a hexagon, the cardboard hexagons. It's actually cardstock because some people like to thread baste and hate the glue. I love the glue and I don't mind having the little corners kind of tucked in, but some people like them more hexagon shaped. So I thought my kits are going to be a little over 2.5 inches square for a 1-inch cardstock cut template for English paper pieced. They're 1 inch on the side, not the diameter, but each side. And then I was going to cut from my stash, you know, several different types of things. Some will be fussy cut, some will be just, say, a blue floral for a blue flower with maybe a yellow center. And I'm just going to slowly build up the little kits and I can do them as I go along and I can send them out easily without having to run to the post office all the time for shipping. We have a scale at work and I figured out how to put them in certain sized envelopes and then I can pre-buy the postage. So if you're interested in that kind of shopping, coming soon will be my little Etsy shop and I may expand on it over time. As this, I am in my pre-retirement age, looking at my retirement type of fun little job. I got to have something to do, right? And long arming for other people, number one, is getting to be painful because of standing and all of the issues I've talked about with long COVID. But the other part is I just want something that is easier to do. I love long arming, but it's a lot of pressure and timetables and things that I can't do anymore. So my Creative Corner 3, the name of this podcast and the name of my blog, is the name of my Etsy shop. Now, when you look for it in the Etsy shop, sometimes you got to like put my Creative Corner 3, all one word, and then put look for a store. Storefront is there, but there's nothing in it yet. And I hope to unroll that no later than Tuesday of this week and have a few listings. And then over time, I may expand it from just English paper piecing kits to other things, but I'll talk about that. I'm going to have a lot of ideas, and it's just going to be a matter of what I can and cannot do. And that's really the bottom line of anything. You just do the best you can. But I have a lot of ideas. I would love to expand to having more than just some English paper piecing supplies, but maybe a few other supplies or pre-cut things from my stash or things that I would like to sell. And I think it could be a lot of fun. What do you think about an Etsy shop? Do you like to shop Etsy? I want to keep it small and not have go to a larger platform, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So that is my goal. And English paper piecing, I do love it. I do have a couple of other shapes besides hexagons that I've played around with, but I always come back to hexes. I love the hexagons and then the ability to either join many of them up, or my favorite thing is to applique them on a square. And that's what I have been making and creating this week. And recuperating from vacation and cleaning up from a spring storm. Overall, I am thrilled to tell you that while on vacation, a health report, I didn't gain any weight, but now I want to continue in my journey to be healthy of exercising daily, which I did 4 days this week, a 10 to 15 minute exercise. Two of them were on my rowing machine, I am proud to say. And we have a little garage gym, and my husband and I really need to get in there more often. We dedicated that to each other on our vacation. And I am really excited that I think I'm getting a better readings on my blood sugars and trying to get on a very healthy eating path. And to help me on this eating path, you're never going to believe it. I entered a giveaway and I won a 22-liter High Sapienta air fryer. I was thrilled. I have an air fryer lid for my Instant Pot, which is great for small batch things, but now I can do dinner for two in this air fryer. Now, it's not a dual chamber. I got second prize. That was the first prize, where you could have two different meals cooking at two different temperatures. But I don't know that I would use that as much. But this has many racks and a rotisserie. It has a rotisserie ability with all the accessories. And I learned how to turn it off and on this week. I made chicken nuggets. I'm going to rewarm pizza that we had last night. I know last night wasn't on the diet plan, but I took my HelloFresh meal this week that was chicken and green beans and cooked them in the air fryer. And then I was able to do the risotto on the stove. It made the whole thing so much easier. Now, it's never going to replace the stove, but for smaller batches and on hot weather, the air fryer doesn't heat the kitchen up. Energy's cost. I don't know. I have a gas stove, so we'll see if I use it a lot, how much it may jump my electric bill, but I'm thinking all in all, it will probably do better because it doesn't seem to need as much warming up time. So, overall, I am absolutely thrilled, and I want to tell you, I watch the Backyard Chef. His name is Rick, and he's an Englishman, and he has been a cook, maybe a chef, not sure. But he's cooked professionally for a long time, but he is making all kinds of food that you could make in an air fryer for 90% of his recipes. And you know what? His food is some, a lot of it I've been watching recently are traditionally British comfort foods, but he made a lot of other things that I'm thinking, boy, you could really have some really good texture and have some great browning abilities in cooking in the air fryer. So I'm excited. I'm going to check out a couple of other YouTube channels that were recommended to me about air using an air fryer, and I'm excited about cooking again. I am not a good cook. I don't typically enjoy cooking, but you know, HelloFresh and Home Chef make it easy for several meals a week, and then I can get a little more creative. And I have a lot of tools at my disposal now between an air fryer and the Instant Pot, my regular oven and cooktop. Yeah, it's great. And the thing that my husband would like to buy is a smoker again this summer and have some. He bought an entire pork loin while it was on sale, and he has them frozen, but he's going to cut them up into like multiple types of meat like pork chops and a tenderloin and different things, and then vacuum pack them. That way we'll have it in our freezer and then he'll smoke some of it. Yes, it's my favorite. So smoked meats is delicious. So on that note, I think I'm going to say have a great week. So where can you find all of the information? In the show notes on my website, mycreativecorner3.com. It has links to an affiliate link for Fat Quarter Shop. If you do any shopping there and use my link, it doesn't cost you any money, but it helps me out a little bit. And I also have links to my virtual cup of coffee through Ko-fi and my Saturday Morning Coffee weekly blog post and all my social media there. And it will have a link to my Etsy shop. It currently is not a good link, and I need to fix that this weekend. I think I'm going to put the Etsy shop as a page you can go look at just because I just can't get it to work on the sidebar. But overall, I'm learning and trying to become more tech savvy, and it's been great. And overall, I want to say thank you for my returning listeners. Y'all are wonderful people. I thank you for all of your kind words and comments, and those who have bought me a virtual cup of coffee. And just thank you so much. You guys have a great week. I hope you were able to take some time to make some wonderful things, a little time for yourself for self-care, and maybe a vacation. I'd love to hear about yours. And if you've done an epic road trip out west, let me know some of the things that you did in recent years that you think I might enjoy. All of that you can communicate with me through the website. So take care, have a most wonderful week, and quilt on, everyone.